GOB50, the truth about cats and dogs. It's high time we started to tell the truth about cats and dogs and how they impact on wildlife. For far too long we've been apologists for our pets, perhaps because we British are so besotted with them. Myths abound and are often given credence by the very people who should know better. A short while ago, the steam rose from my ears when I heard an RSP spokesman say that while cats kill millions of birds, reptiles, amphibians and small mammals, we need not worry as habitat loss is a far bigger problem. Instead of hearing the problem, most cat owners just hear that they need not worry. But the fact is our wildlife can't take another hit from anywhere, as it's under so much pressure from habitat degradation and loss, disturbance, deliberate prosecution, human hazards like light pollution and litter. So everything else that decreases their numbers needs to be addressed. One might just as casually and irresponsibly say that Chinese medicine has always used tiger bones, so it's not that which is leading to their imminent extinction. In many parts of Australia, cats must either be kept indoors or confined to escape-proof runs in gardens. In the US, cats are now acknowledged as the leading cause of passerine fatalities. But in Blighty, we bury our heads ostrich-like so deep that we're in danger of suffocation. Of course, that analogy is based on a myth about ostriches. But no worse than a myth that the tiddles wouldn't hurt a fly or that my moggy is rubbish at hunting. Fact. Cats wander miles from home and many nightly use strangers' cat flaps and eat their food. They hunt in the surrounding countryside and rarely bring home what they catch. No corpse on your doorstep is no evidence, not proof of innocence. They may only kill the same percentage as they always have, but do the math. There are now 10 million cats in the UK, twice what there were a generation ago. If 5 million cats once killed 10% of 10 million thrushes, then twice as many cats are killing 20% of 1 million thrushes, which is a far greater impact. Fact, at least 7 different neighbourhood cats come into my otherwise cat-free yard. Lime manure, high-pitched sound and all other sorts of physical barriers don't keep them out. But I am allowed no recourse at all. If a dog were to do the same, I could take extreme measures to rid myself of the pest and prosecute its owner. Fact, most of us have told our children they can only have pets if they take responsibility for them. But we adults feel under no such obligation. And dogs are not innocent. They're often encouraged by their moronic owners to chase waders along the tide line and not restrained from covering me in muddy footprints or scaring me off a public footpath. I'm sick of being told they're only being played for. I doubt a well-placed Wellington boot from me would seem playful to their owners. Dogs disturb birds. Studies show that bird density is less where footpaths with dogs are allowed rather than footpaths where they are banned. Dogs, on the whole, don't kill wildlife, but they are expected to be kept under control by their owners who are legally responsible for their actions, even on their own property, let alone on mine or in the local country park. So where does that leave us? Well, it must not be blithely ignoring the problem. It's time for legislation that obliges cat owners to be responsible for their pets and their whereabouts and behaviour. They should be kept under control. Keep cats indoors or in escape-proof enclosures. Moreover, all pets should be licensed and identity chipped. And that's the end of number 50.